Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining Jewish Stories and More. This is a story by Mrs. Rachel Kalevsky. She says she was born in Yerushalayim to a non-observant family. Her mother and father were not keeping Torah and mitzvahs very much. And unfortunately, when she was still a young girl, his mother and father divorced. And for some reason, they chose to send her to a very, very frum, very orthodox, observant, dormitory school, meaning a school where the children lived in the dormitory instead of going home each night to their houses or coming each day to school. It was 24 hours, 7 days a week, and they lived in the dormitory. And it was kind of unusual because they themselves were not very much involved with Torah mitzvahs. And this was a school that was very, very frum, very, very religious. And it was quite a shock to her to come from a life in which everything was basically allowed to be in a school where it seemed like almost nothing was allowed, or very, very strict rules and many, many rules. Eventually, she left the life of Torah and mitzvahs. It was too much for her. It was too different than her childhood as she was raised. And perhaps she didn't have anybody that was really helping her to adjust and explaining to her how it really did fit in with her life. But in any case, it didn't work. So she did not really keep Torah and mitzvahs very much. And when she became of age, she joined the army. And the years went by. And when she was already in her mid-30s, 34, 35 or so, maybe 36. She married a man from Kiryat Atta. She left Yerushalayim, and together they made a home in Kiryat Atta, which is in the north of Israel. They were very happy. Within a year of the chasana, of the wedding, their oldest daughter was born. They were very happy, very, very happy, especially because she got married kind of late. And sometimes when someone does not start trying to have children until an older age, it's more difficult than when people get married younger and start having children at a younger age. And therefore, they were especially happy because right away they were blessed with a child. However, soon after the baby was born, she began to feel very sharp pains in her stomach. They did tests, and it turned out that she had some kind of a growth that had to be removed. She hoped that after that, things would go back to normal and she'd be able to have more children. But that's not what happened. Months passed, years passed. They were not blessed with more children. They tried going through fertility treatments, which means certain ways that doctors have to try to encourage the beginning of a child, giving more chance that a woman could become pregnant. But the doctors were not too hopeful. In fact, there was a certain infection that developed inside of her, and it made things difficult, complicated. And therefore, the doctors that she saw said, you're never going to have children again. They tried other treatments and so forth, and it just seemed that, no, they were not going to have any more children. It just seemed that they were going to have one child of their own, and that was it. Of course, they were upset, but what could they do? About this time, Rachel met a friend who noticed that she didn't look too happy, and her friend asked her what was the problem. So she told her friend about what the doctor said and how she was having a very hard time accepting the idea that she would never have any more children. So the friend tried to encourage her and then said, you know, I think that you should ask the advice of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Now, Rachel was not really keeping Torah mitzvahs very much, but she still had a very strong belief in tzaddikim, what's called emunas tzaddikim, faith in tzaddikim. Of course, our faith is in Hashem, but a tzaddik is a person who is kind of like a servant of Hashem, like it says after the splitting of the sea, the Torah says, "V'yaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdai." and they believed in Hashem and in Moshe, his servant, which we actually say every single day in the davening, in Shacharis. And that means that the Jewish people believed in Hashem, and they also believed that Hashem worked through Moshe Rabbeinu, all the Makos, all the 10 plagues in Egypt, and the splitting of the sea, all of it happened. Of course, it was Hashem who made it happen, but it happened through Moshe. Moshe lifted up a stick and so forth. And therefore, Rachel was still very strong in her belief in tzaddikim, that there are people that are tzaddikim, they're holy people, and Hashem works through them. Besides that, they had heard a lot about the Rebbe over the years, his blessings, his special spiritual powers. And therefore, because her friend had suggested it, Rachel decided to write a letter to the Rebbe. In fact, they right away drove together, her and her friend, to the home of the Rebbe Shliach, right there in Kiryat Atta, where they lived, Rabbi Chaim Shlomo Diskin. And his wife was also named Rachel. And Mrs. Diskin helped Rachel, this Rachel, to write a letter to the Rebbe. When she left the Diskin's home, she felt very, very happy, full of confidence that there would be brachas and good things that would come from writing a letter to the Rebbe asking for brachas. In fact, she didn't even wait for an answer from the Rebbe. She went right to the Rothschild Hospital, which began another set of fertility treatments, certain procedures that doctors do to help, as I said before, to increase the chances of her becoming pregnant. There was a doctor named Dr. Ifshitz. He was a well-known doctor in the field, and he was in charge of the treatment. Sure enough, a few days later, the answer came from the Rebbe. The Rebbe had answered, "Bracha v'atzlacha," blessing and success. In fact, soon after receiving the Rebbe's answer, Rachel was told that it was a successful treatment and in fact she was pregnant. She was very happy. 4 months later, during another exam, Dr. Ifshitz mentioned that there's a certain procedure that many medical experts recommend for someone in her situation, but he did not think it was a great idea. And he said, "It's up to you. You could decide if you want this procedure. Many doctors think it's a good idea. I don't think it's a great idea, but it's up to you." Rachel didn't know what to do, but she at least knew who to ask. She went back to the Diskin's home, the Shluchim, and told the Rebbetzin about the new situation. Together they wrote a letter to the Rebbe, and in a few days there was an answer. The Rebbe said in his letter that even though a lot of doctors are in favor of this particular procedure, but since her doctor was not, it's better to follow her doctor's advice. So Rachel followed the Rebbe's advice and asked for a bracha to have an easy and normal birth. She got to the 7th month of her pregnancy, and she received a letter from the Rebbe dated the 20th of Kislev, very special day, and that was in the year 5752. Which was only a few months before the Rebbe became sick, unfortunately, and no longer wrote letters. The Rebbe wrote in the letter to Rachel, in reply to the notification about her situation, "Hashem will certainly give his blessings, and she will be able to complete the time of the pregnancy, and she'll have a proper and easy birth to a healthy child in the right time." The Rebbe then continued and said that her request would be read at an auspicious time, a good time, a special time, at the Tzion, at the gravesite of the Rebbe's father-in-law. That's the 6th Chabad Rebbe, the Yosef Yitzchak, holy and righteous memory, whose soul rests in the treasures of heaven, as the Rebbe put it. May his merit protect us. Now, this letter really strengthened Rachel's faith. She felt that the Rebbe would be with her for the entire pregnancy. Every time that some problem came up, Rachel requested a bracha and received a blessing, and everything worked out. Finally, towards the end of the 8th month, Rachel got a call from the personal secretary of the Lubavitch Rebbe. He said that the Rebbe had given her a bracha, a blessing, and there was nothing to worry about. Then he suggested that when I should go to the hospital, I should take the letter which the Rebbe wrote to ensure an easy birth. Sure enough, Less than 24 hours later, she was rushed to the delivery room, about a month early, actually. And she was there for a whole day. There was a kind of a complicated procedure going on. And that's why she understood what the secretary had said, that the Rebbe had said everything will be all right. Because since it was a difficult situation, it was important for her to know that the Rebbe had given her bracha, that everything would be all right. The letter, of course, was in her bag. And everyone around her knew about her strong connection with the Rebbe. As the long day came to an end, their younger daughter was born. They gave her the name Talia. At first, they were thinking of just naming her Tal or Tali, but they wanted to name her Talia because Talia has a Yud and a Hey at the end, which is one of the names of Hashem. That is, as a sign of thanks to the Creator. What do we learn from this story? It's a long story with a lot of details. We see here a person who was not born into a family that was so involved with Torah mitzvahs. And it was not easy for her for many, many years of her life. But nevertheless, she developed a very strong connection, relationship with the Rebbe. And many, many brachas were given to her by the Rebbe. And this had a great and very positive effect on her life. So too, the leader of the generation is called the Nasi of the generation. And as Rashi says in Chumash about Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the Nasi, the leader of his generation, HaNasi Hu HaKol, that the Nasi, the leader of the generation, is like the entire generation. That is to say that our life force comes to us from Hashem through the Nasi of the generation, through the leader of the generation. And therefore, whoever has the ability to connect directly with the leader of the generation should certainly try to do so, because this increases our brachas, and the guidance of the Rebbe increases our awareness of how to live our life. When Mashiach comes, of course, Mashiach will be the leader of the generation, and in this way we'll receive constant teaching and constant guidance in serving Hashem. May it come immediately, may the Geula come immediately, and especially through your learning of Torah and your doing of mitzvahs, learning extra Torah and doing extra mitzvahs, especially learning about Mashiach and Geula, and may the war in Eretz Yisrael, through especially our efforts in increasing your Torah and mitzvahs, be successful, completely successful, quickly successful. All the hostages should be returned to us. All the injured people should be healed, and our enemies should be wiped out. Just as it was in the story of Purim, that all the enemies of the Jewish people were wiped out. And this will lead to a time of peace, and it will lead, God willing, to the Geula. May it happen immediately. Thank you so much for joining Jewish Stories and More.